Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is March 27th, 2018. I'm Terry Tackett, and you are now listening to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of community Christian Fellowship, excuse me. And your normal host, Pastor Steve Whitaker, we hope he's on his way, but he's not here right now. So it's my pleasure to turn it over to the co-host tonight, Mr. John Van Gundy. Hello, John.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good.
Okay. Well, John, why don't we open up, just tell us a little bit about yourself here maybe today.
Well, I'm a member at Community Christian Fellowship, and I am Pastor Steve's son-in-law. I don't know if that gets me anything, but I'm a father. I have 5 children, 1 girl and 4 boys. I'm also a dairy farmer. And we also have a hog farm also, and I'm a 7th grade football coach. It's been a little sad in our area out at Elgin. One of our players, Chase Lauk, he passed away in a car accident last Friday. That's been sad for the whole community, but, you know, everybody's working their way through it, and we'll learn from that.
Yeah. Going to make everyone tougher probably in the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those unfortunate things, but, you know, We hate to say it this way, kind of, but it's a part, you know, part of life. I mean, you know, as far as
it's a part of life. We had just come from the funeral home at the calling hours, and you know, a lot of those kids that maybe had never been to the funeral home and seen anybody they cared for lying there, not with us anymore.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's kind of a traumatic experience. You know, if you've never seen anything like that, you know, I mean,
well,
that's,
sure,
you know,
it's, sure.
So anyway. You know, Mr., it's good to have you tonight. And like I say, I know you brought somebody with you. If you want to,
well, yeah, I brought my son Jonah.
All right. Well, nice to meet you, Jonah. Glad you're here with us tonight. So, like I say, basically this is your show. So just kind of take us in the direction you want to go, and we'll just kind of follow your lead tonight.
Well, I mean, I like to talk about anything. You know, I guess maybe rolling off of where we just come from. You know. So many times these young guys and parents and kids alike, they maybe take it for granted a little bit what we got, how good we have it and what we have, and you don't know you've had it that good until it's gone. You know, just looking in there, you know, Chase is not, I mean, he's gone now. There's nothing we can do about that, but the only thing we can do about that is maybe learn from the mistakes that were made and the choices that were made. Sometimes your choices as a young adult and adolescent aren't necessarily the choices you should make. And maybe it's a wake up call for some of these young kids that, you know, and even the adults involved that, you know, review your choices and trust your gut and trust the Lord. And you know, if it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. I mean, that's sometimes a hard lesson to learn.
Well, I was going to say too, you know, with that, what we really need right now is, you know, everyone needs to come together at this time is what we need.
That's right.
In situations like this, you really need it, it's the old, for me, it's the old adage, you know, strength in numbers. You know, you really need everybody.
Well, and at a time like this, you know, there was other kids involved, and they. You know, right or wrong, and what happened, it's not the time to point the finger.
Absolutely.
Or blame anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, what's done is done. And,
sure.
You know, when I coach football, I tell my kids, you know, we can't change the play that just happened. We can only affect what's going to happen. And, you know, and we need to look to that.
Same in our lives, too. You
That's
know,
right.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. That's a great lesson for, you know.
We have no bearing on the past.
That's right.
The past,
as they say,
is the past.
You can't unding that bell that's already been.
That's right. You know, when the round's over, it's over.
Yeah. So, but so, as far as youth go, I mean, what type of lessons, obviously, besides this tragedy, do you try to instill in the youth when, you know, like what type of in your coaching method, I guess, is what I'm, you know.
Well, I guess it's.
I mean, obviously you teach football, but do you teach us maybe life lessons as well as some football?
Well, in football in general, I like football. I mean, I've been a football guy my whole life. I've played. I've certainly coached. I've coached junior high for a long time, and you know, I like that age group. I'll start there. I like that age group because it's a changing time in all their life. You know, you're dealing with 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids that, you know, some of them are shaven and some of them are not. And, you know, it's our job as coaches to, you know, bring them along. You know, and sometimes these kids don't have a male figure in their life, and a lot of times they do. And, you know, I'm not there to replace anybody. I'm there to strengthen the support group that's already there.
I was going to say, sometimes in situations like that, you have to wear a lot of different hats, don't you? You're maybe football coach. You might be dad, maybe. I mean, you know, to some of these kids.
I need them to know that no matter what, I got their back. You know, I'm going to be hard on them, and I'm going to make sure they're toeing the line. But at the end of the day, if they need to depend on somebody, that's got to be us as coaches and, you know, and everybody involved in their life.
Sure. Do you find it, as far as the coaching aspect goes, I mean, you say obviously, you know, you've done it pretty much all your life, you've played and everything. Give me the insight, though. What's it actually like, coach? I mean, is it you like, obviously you love coaching, but I mean.
Well, it's pretty much organized chaos. I guess when we coach, it's my job as a junior high coach, A, to set a foundation of football. You know, we don't need to learn what Ohio State's learning. We don't need to look like the Cleveland Browns. I mean, which, you know, maybe that's good or bad. I don't know. We could be better than the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. But
I mean, you start with basics and then just kind of work your way up from there?
We start with basics. What we try to teach these kids is, you know, there's 11 men on the football field, and it's 11 guys doing their job and their job only. If they're worrying about somebody else's job, they haven't done their own. Because you shouldn't be able to watch to see what else somebody is doing. You know, you have a job, and you do your job to the best of your ability. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you got to do your job. And all 11 guys do their job will be successful. And that's the way, that's what we try to instill in them. You know, we try to set the foundation for higher learning. You know, you'll never learn anything, and you can't be any better if you can't get that right. We start out, when we start the year, you know, we start out with the basics again, you know, stance, blocking, tackling. And then we learn two plays. And we don't learn any more plays until we learn two plays. And the little secret is, when you learn two plays, if you can learn those first two plays right, we really shouldn't have to learn any more. Because if everybody does their job, it's successful. And success isn't always measured in a touchdown, it's measured in positive. You know, if you can get 3.5 yards a down, you should never be stopped.
What's the deal? 3 yards on a cloud of dust.
You betcha. I mean, I'm not always about that. I mean, you know, I like to see a good touchdown run or something like that. But I would rather see everybody get it. And at certain points in the year, you see a kid, you know, that's the most rewarding thing as a coach. You see a kid that you know, maybe he isn't getting it, but then he gets it. I mean, he gets that, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. A running back that finally understands that, you know, you can't just run outside and make something happen. You know, if you hit the hole that the linemen are blocking for you, and you run through it, and you run through it with all you have, at some point you'll run through it, and nobody will touch you, and you'll score a touchdown. And you'll come back, and the kid will say, you know, coach, that's where it was. You know, I didn't see it until now. I mean, those are the victories that you're looking for.
Which, like I say, basically, as far as your life goes, I mean, if you just, you know, like you said, do what you say, kind of keep your eyes open and keep focused on the prize ahead. I mean, that's
well, and that's in football. I think as much as any sport, and any sport will teach this. So many times today, you know, people are trapped up into getting a college scholarship or moving to the next level. 99.9% of all these kids are going to grow up to be dads and moms. I mean, we have ladies that play football. I'm just talking about football, but sports in general. They're going to be dads. They're going to be moms. They're going to be my neighbor. They're going to be my kid's neighbor. They're going to be a member of the community. They're all going to have a job somewhere where they have to interact. And they're going to have to interact as a team. And if we can accomplish getting them to interact as a good member of society, if they are that talented, then in today's day and age with social media, and they will be found. That talent will be found, and it will get distributed. And Lord willing, if they move to the next level, then they are blessed. But most of all, they're going to be blessed with a family, a job, and a member of the community, and that's what athletics and sports should be doing.
Well, you know, yeah, like you said, you know, promoting the teamwork aspect of it, because in their lives, no matter what path they go down, whether it be a work career, military, whatever, it's always going to incorporate some type of teamwork.
That's right. And, you know, I've been married for about 20 years. And if we didn't work as a team, we wouldn't be married.
that's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm not the coach, I'll tell you. But, you know, it's all teamwork. You know, our family works as a team. You know, right now, I'm here, but it's milking time. You know, our oldest daughter and our oldest son are milking the cows.
Yeah.
Well, if I didn't have their teamwork, I wouldn't be here.
That's right. So in your life, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, how is it weird to ask, like, how does all this tie together as far as like football and dairy? I mean, is there sometimes the same lessons in both, or is, I mean, I don't know how to ask the question.
I guess maybe I don't know how to answer it either, but it all ties together. You know, I'll give you a little background about dairy farming.
Sure.
My wife and I, actually Pastor Steve, who, like I said, is my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I married his shortest daughter. So we started, they were farming when we started dating, and then they stopped farming then, and I always wanted to farm. I didn't come from a farm. My dad owns a window company.
Okay.
But my dad told us when we were kids that my older brother, he told all of us, my older brother and I, we this sunk in pretty big. You know, he didn't necessarily want to be a window man. That wasn't his career choice, but that's what he figured out to feed our family, and he's done a good job of it. But he told us to figure out what we wanted to do and do it. Learn how to do it and do it. So I knew I wanted two things. I wanted to play professional football, and I wanted to farm. So, you know, right away, my wife and I, we got married right out of high school. And we started into it. We just felt like, you know, there was nothing we couldn't do together that we could do apart better. So we started farming and started from scratch. We had to buy everything the first time and clawed and pawed and got some good breaks, and we're very blessed. So now we own a herd of cows, and we have a nice farm. And
you guys got a farm here in Marion County? Or?
Well, it's just a little bit into Delaware County.
Okay.
Just south of Prospect.
Large farm? Or, I mean,
well, not large. We farm about 200 acres, okay. Mostly hay and pasture.
Okay.
We milk about 40 cows.
All right.
We have a contract nursery barn, hogs, and I worked full time for a long time while we were doing this, and you know, we've been blessed. I mean, everybody's healthy, and that's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
But to answer your question,
sorry.
Of tying it all together, I had to give a little background story.
Sure.
You know, it's all the same. You know, it's perseverance and sticking to something that maybe isn't working today that you believe in that's going to work. And football, I feel, and in athletics, is somewhat like that. You know, when you start a season, you got a group of guys you put together that half of them can't get the shoulder pads buckled. You spend half the practice getting that done. And you think, this is never going to go. But by the end of the season, everybody in the room is talking the same language. You know, we're on one page. We're together. And when it all comes together, it is really fun. And in football or in farming and, you know, that's kind of the way it works. You know, when it all comes together, it starts to become fun. And it's good.
Are there, as far as both I don't want to say, well, I should say occupations. As far as both occupations go, are there a lot of obstacles? I mean, as far as, you know, as far as doing both of them? I mean, you know, that you've encountered?
Or? Well, I mean, dairy farming is a seven-day-a-week job. Okay, we milk twice a day. Mm-hmm. The good part is football, for some reason, has fit into a good spot in the year, especially junior high football. We start about, you know, my coaching philosophy maybe is a little different. You know, I don't think I need to bombard the kids. We practice, you know, before school starts, we practice 5 days a week, and I don't practice on Saturday or in Sunday. That's family time, and families need family time. Not, you know, I ask the parents to give them to me for a couple hours at a time. We work hard and we go home. So that being said, you know, in that stretch of the year in my farming operation, it's slower. That's maybe my slowest time of the year. All the crops are in the ground. The hay's relatively made. So we go from the 1st of August to about the 15th of October. Now, by the time the end of the season rolls around, things start getting hectic again. But it's just in time. And that's kind of the something I do for, you know, I don't really play golf and I don't do anything else, but I'd like to coach football, and I think it's important.
Well, I think that's great that you do that, because I think children at that age, you know, definitely need, you know, some structure and discipline, you know, things like that, which is everything that football and athletics in general offer.
Sure.
You know, but as far as like, and maybe it's just kind of a rewording of the other question. Is there any, when you're coaching football, has there ever been like any resistance or anything? I mean, as far as maybe your methods didn't quite, you know, somebody didn't quite agree with your, you know,
it happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, but
yeah,
I mean,
you know, I've had that. You know, I've had coaches that we didn't see eye to eye, but you know, that was generally when they were first starting into it, and you know, my method isn't always the right way. Sometimes I can be a little bit of a bull in the china shop when it comes to my method. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that. I, you know, when I have an idea, it's my idea, but, you know, somebody's got to be in charge. There's things we could do probably schematically to be more successful at that level. I'll be the first to admit it. You know, sometimes I get parents yelling out of the stands, run a different play. Well, you know, the play we're running is working. And maybe I'm trying to prove a point to the kids to stick with it, you know, that the success is there, and maybe we have to run something, you know, a few more times than we should to get my point across, because it's teaching. You're trying to teach them a process. And the process is, if it worked every time, then everybody would do it. If it were easy, everybody would be out there. You know, I tell the boys all the time, when we're standing out there and there's, you know, between 7th and 8th grade, there's 20-some of us or 30 of us or sometimes 15 of us. You know, every boy in the school, whether they want to admit it or not, somehow wishes they were out here with you. Maybe they don't think they're going to be but most young men, and I don't care if you played football or not, at some point in your life, you daydream a little bit about playing football and putting on a helmet. And it isn't for everybody. I mean, there's other things to do. We tell our kids all the time, you don't have to play football. You don't have to play basketball. You don't have to play. But you're going to do something, and you're going to put all your effort into it. If you're going to be in the band, you're going to put all your effort into it. If you're going to be on the math team, you're going to put all your effort into it. I mean, that's just the way it should be. I mean, it doesn't always have to be football. I mean, I'm a football guy. But, you know, Coach Farrell, Jeff Farrell, runs the cross country and the track team. Okay, does a great job. You know, I tease him all the time. I said, you know, we ought to have a lottery, or we ought to have a draft. Because sometimes he's got some cross country players that should be playing football. And sometimes I got some football players that should be running cross country. But, you know, I tell him he does a good job, and I tell him that, you know, it's fun to watch them work hard too. I mean, that's, you know, kids need to have something in their life that they know that if you put in the time and you put in the effort, that you're going to have success. And success doesn't always look like what you think it should. you know, and parents get wrapped up in that too. You know, I know we certainly have in our time in certain things. You know, it doesn't always equate to being a starter. It doesn't always equate to being, but you know, you can be the best teammate you can be, whether you're on the bench or on the floor, or in the game or out of the game. You know, you never know when it's your turn and your turn to step up, and you need to be prepared.
That's a great point there. I'm gonna kind of step off the page a little bit here, but
okay,
kind of steer me back. Do you think now, as far as from a church perspective, are we seeing an influx of kids, or are we seeing a decline in kids as far as attending?
Well, I think
church.
I want to say there's a middle group in there, and maybe.
And then also too, it's a two part question.
Okay.
The second part of the question would be, and if there would be like a decline, in your opinion, do you think that social media plays a big part of that?
Well, let me start with the first part.
Okay.
I think there's an increase in certain ways. Certainly, their church attendance is a little different. You know, it's a little more contemporary sometimes. You know, there's always pushback in the church from the older group to the younger group. You know, I tend to fall in the middle. You know, I don't consider myself old yet, but I'm getting there. I have an adult child now. I mean, that changes my perspective. But I think with this group of kids we got now, maybe 22 on down, yeah, I see them turning back a little bit, and I'm turning back into more of a traditional style worship, and you know, walk with the Lord, and you know, it's really good to see. I've seen some surprises, I guess, you know, and also, you know, social media plays a big part in that. You know, sometimes they overanalyze everything they see. I know my children do. You know, I teased my wife. I said, maybe we ought to stop looking at Facebook and start looking at Faithbook. You know, if sometimes you get so caught up in what everybody else is doing, you know, I watch the pumpkin patch. I don't look at Facebook hardly at all, but sometimes I look at it. I look at my wife's account just to see what she put on there. Not that I'm spying on her or anything, but just to see what's on there. And you know, you do get to see people that you've lost contact with. But anyway, you see them, and everybody is doing something grand. You know, I call it the pumpkin patch effect. You know, you got to go to the pumpkin patch because everybody went to the pumpkin patch, and you need pictures to show. And I think young people today are under way more pressure than any of us older than who were old enough not to have a cell phone in their adult years really know. I mean, everybody's a movie star on their own Snapchat or their own Facebook page or Instagram or something like that.
What's the old saying? They're getting their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, good or bad. I mean,
yeah.
You know, as parents, it worries me, you know, what the fame is. And in going back to our football locker room, we're blessed to have our own locker room. Well, when you walk in the door, you put your phone away. There's no videos. There's no record. You put it away. If you need to call mom and dad, you call them right away. You call them on your way over from the school, and then you put it away. Because we have 2.5 hours of time to ourselves to focus on football and to focus on the team. And you know, when kids are given those kind of rules, it's not a problem. The first day it's a problem. The second day it's not. And I wish that kids would learn to maybe shut some things out. You know, as I go about my day, sometimes I get trapped in my own little world. And I tell my wife all the time, I said, you know, I've kind of stopped listening to the news or watching the news or, you know, sometimes because I don't have time. But, you know, there's some things I just can't affect by myself. My kids, you know, I can affect them. The kids that I coach, I can affect them. You know, my community, I can have effect in there. You know, it just goes back to the taking care of your position. You know, my position is a dad, a coach, you know, community member, a coworker, a friend. That's my position. That's the only position I can affect. I cannot affect what goes on in Washington. Maybe on a minor, I can vote. I can do my job. That's my job. But I can't affect what the president tweets. I can't affect what, you know, I can get upset. The only thing I can do is spend a lot of time being upset, and it's hard work to be upset. It takes way too much energy. So we might as well focus on something positive and do the work we can do.
That's a very good way to put it. Very good way to put it. Kind of staying along the same line, I was wondering, too, I just jotted down a few notes here. I was wondering, in your mind, do you think that with the youth of today, has the church had to change the way that it kind of, I don't know, what I put the word worship, I don't know if that's right or
well,
not.
Well, yeah, yeah, no, I mean, you're kind of right. Yes and no.
Okay.
You know, the funny thing is, and Pastor Steve will probably back me up, he could do a whole segment on that. It almost seems like we had to go away and almost make it like a rock show. You know, rock and roll, they're not getting the message till then. But I find our youngest crowd, you know, maybe that 18, 19, 20, college age, senior in high school, junior in high school, you know, they're almost the other way. I mean, it you wouldn't think it would be that way. But I think with the social media aspect, you know, they're in rock and roll all the time. I mean, it's always the big show. But when they come to church, you know, I think they want to tone it down a little bit and have a deeper experience. I think sometimes you can have, and I don't want to be that guy that says you can't have a good experience, you know, a touching experience that, you know, when it's loud and exciting. I mean, that's not what I'm getting at. But I think there's some pushback to more of a traditional style. But the good thing is, you know, there's probably 20 churches in Marion. You know, doctrinally, maybe I don't agree with all of them. But you know what? The first start is to get your butt in church somewhere and to start there. You know, read your Bible. You know, do a little studying on your own. Because sometimes what you always hear, might not always be the truth, but, you know, you should seek it on your own, because ultimately it's your personal walk, not the group walk at that point.
Is there, from also, too, from a youth standpoint, to kind of continue on with that, is there a lot of activities? I mean, you guys try to do a lot of activities for youth as far as...
We do. My wife, Kelly, she runs the youth group. They're always doing something. She has Teen Kid on, I think it's every third Thursday night. We started with the Awana Club, and that was great. I mean, the Teen Kid, that... It's fun to see kids. It's open for every kid everywhere.
See, explain that a little bit, what that program is about.
Yeah. Team Kid is where they come together. We used to do it every Thursday night, but now we're about to every third Thursday night because families are busy. In our staff maybe fits that a little better. Basically, you come in and you're split up into groups a little bit, almost somewhat like Sunday school. The whole group gets a high-energy message. My wife does a good job with that. She's only about 4'8" on a good day. So the kids really, they gravitate towards her. She's going to kill me if she hears me giving out her height, but that's all right. That's what makes her special. They hear a good message, an energetic message, and then they break off into groups and they do different activities, do some Bible verse memorization. They have a good snack. You know, the kids that come, they have a really good time. You know, when the summer breaks, we'll have game time outside. I'll probably get involved with that a little bit. Some of the other men in the church will. And that, we have a good time with that. We play dodgeball, kickball, everything. I mean, we just have fun with it. And that's what it's about. It's about learning about the Lord but having a good time and making it a good experience. Sometimes you get a bad rap for old church is boring. Well, it's as boring as you want it to be.
Well, I know a lot of it has always been, and you know, I know I've attended a few, you know, a few times, and I see a lot of churches adapting. You know, like, for example, the dress code was always, oh, you got to dress up. You know, now a lot of them are going a lot more casual, it seems now, you know, and things like that. I don't know if that's always been a big deal, you know, maybe for some people and, you know.
Well, you know, I think our older generation gets wrapped up into it a little more. I mean, you should always present yourself the best way that you can to the Lord. I mean, He gives you this body to take care of.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not to be taken lightly.
Right.
But, you know, is there a dress code? Probably not. You know, I think you'll find any good church you ever go to, they'll take you how you are. And whether you're wearing a rags or the best clothes you got, right. I think they'll take you as you are. And that's certainly what we do at our church. You know.
And I'm sure you see an influx of all kinds of different.
Oh, all kinds. I mean, you know, we got three-piece suits and you know, holy blue jeans. I mean, but the most important part is that you're there and you're listening.
Yes.
And you're there. I mean, that, you know, I don't think Jesus gave out a dress code.
Right.
I'm just pretty sure on that.
Right. Well, I also, and I don't know, maybe, like I say, maybe I worded this in, but I thought with this new group of young people we have that are attending church now, do you think that the pastors have maybe tried kind of had to alter their message, or has the message always remained the same, or have they kind of had to alter that a little bit? I don't even know if that's the right word I want to use, but I mean, it's,
well, I mean,
because obviously the ultimate message is, you know,
the content maybe gets sometimes,
I guess, maybe more on a level that they could understand. I don't know if that's, you know, if that's how.
Well, I think they have a heightened comprehension of things. I mean, I mean, just the kids I'm around, the young adults and young, I think they're craving something real. I mean, everything else is, you know, like we touched on the social media. Everything else is a production.
That's probably the word I was looking for, yeah.
You know, I think they're craving something that is just altogether real. And Pastor Steve does a really good job of that, of putting out a real message. Because, you know, he hasn't been a pastor all his life, and, you know, he's done real things. So I think they're really craving just something, a real message that will hit home to them, something they can bring home and think about. You know, if you can analyze the whole message sitting there in the pew, it's probably not enough of a message.
Well, that's a great term. That's exactly the term I was looking for. Do you think now that we're seeing a lot more of maybe like these real life experiences be incorporated into these, you know, which is easily helps them understand?
Well, yeah,
this,
and that's the connection. You know, you can.
That's exactly what I'm.
You can just read the Bible, but sometimes that doesn't always connect the first time. You know, you got to plant the seed before the tree will grow, and sometimes if people are more apt to listen to somebody who is real and has a real story to tell, a testimony or real life experience. When you bring that into the message, I think that'll resonate with the kids.
Do you think also too, kind of staying on that same line, I could see that where that would also be a benefit to you coaching football. Maybe you could share a real life football experience. You know what
I mean?
You
mean,
know,
for
or,
sure.
Or do you do that? You probably do that all the time.
We do that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure the kids. You know, I've certainly had my football experience, and I wouldn't change them for the world. And you know, I try to bring in my experiences from what I do, what I've been through, to the kids. But you know, you also got to walk the fine line. You know, it's not about me. It's about them and their experience. And what I try to, you know, all the guys I played high school football with, I mean, I could run into them after not seeing them for 20 years, but I know them. They're my friends. They're my teammates. You know, and we have something in common. We went through something common that we can talk about from now until forever. You know, and I can see those same guys. And I tell the guys that, you know, a lot of those guys I played football with, If I knew them outside of football, I couldn't stand them. They would probably not be my acquaintances. But when you play football or you play a sport with somebody, you get a bond with that, and that's the team bond. And that changes everything. I mean, and it's hard to get that message out. You know, and today, going to the funeral home there, I think some of those kids got it today. You know, they had a bond with somebody that they're not going to have anymore, but the only bond they had was through athletics or school or you know, in that, I try to stress that pretty hard. The relationships you develop with the people. You know, I got kids that have kids, and, you know, I'll probably start coaching some of their kids here before too long. You know, I haven't seen them since they were seventh grader or eighth grader in school, but I know them in – I know him. I know him as one of my guys and one of my, you know, teammates and one of the kids I coached. And they know me. And I think that's important in life, that you have people that know you and you know them. You know, and they got your back. And they know you got your, you know, as a coach, you know, they know you have their back from here until whenever. And it doesn't matter with time. And that's the same way with your teammates. Your teammates had your back when you played ball, and they'll probably have your back when you're not playing ball. And if you need to call on somebody, you know, you could go down the list and find them.
When these young people, like when they leave you after you've had your 2 hours or 2.5 hours with them, what is something that you hope that mom and dad, you hope that they still continue with that? I mean, what's something that mom and dad could do once these kids are home to continue that, you know, that, well, that message that you've instilled, you know?
And I guess I'm the support staff for mom and dad. I'm not mom and dad, and I'm, you know, I can only be mom and dad to my kids.
Sure, sure.
So I feel it's my job to, you know, to support mom and dad. You know, I always tell them, you know, when we come to football practice, you know, one of the first things I tell them, you know, rule number one is no talking when the coach is talking. Rule number two is you're not going to hear me use foul language. We don't need to use foul language. You can be really aggressive without saying a four-letter word. But I also tell them, I said, you know, if you can't say something to your mother's face, then you probably ought to not be saying it. And, you know, one time, I'll tell you a little funny story. I had a kid. He says, well, I can say whatever I want to my mother. I said, well, you know what? I said, you go tell that to your grandma. And he says, well, coach, my grandpa can't walk, but he'd get up and slap me in the mouth. And you know, that, you know, that's just supporting the parents. You know, when we're done with practice, I said, you know, tomorrow, especially in the summertime, I said, you know, we have practice in the evening. I said, get up in the morning. I said, do something different. Ask your mom, what can I do for you? I said, she might faint. Better yet, go out in the driveway, start up the lawnmower, and mow the grass. I said, when you start doing those kind of things and you start taking the initiative to do those things for your parents and to help out, and you become a member of your family team, I said, the whole world changes for you. Next thing you know, mom's asking you what you want for dinner. She's cooking you your favorite thing. And you didn't even have to do anything for it. You just had to participate in the family. And when you start participating, everybody starts participating. And it changes the whole dynamic.
You know, you actually, you've taken that initiative, and that initiative now has gone a long way, you know, I mean, as far as, you know, for at home anyway, you know. And like I say, I just, you know, talking to you here, it's just fascinating. Like I say, it's just so neat how the two kind of correlate with one another, how we can incorporate the values from football to our everyday life as well as to our church life. So
that's right.
I mean, and that's what's so amazing about the whole thing.
I mean, and that's what athletics do. And like I told you before, we get trapped in thinking that it's always what's next. It's always, you know, the next level. No, the level is the level of today. And if we're there, and, you know, like we said before, you can't change the past. You can only affect the future. And if you get better every day, then the future will be what it is supposed to be. You know, we can't all write our own future, and none of us can, because, you know, we don't know what the future is. You know, and families need to be, you know, if anything could come of a good church family and a good school family and a good community, is, you know, family's number one. You know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't always have to look traditional. It doesn't have to be mom and dad, your mom and dad. It can be mom and stepdad. It can be just mom. It can be grandpa. It can be grandma. But, you know, everybody needs to support what's at home. And too many times, you know, I've seen it, you know, there's a lot of kids that come around that don't have anything at home, and you know it pretty close. I mean, when you spend a practice or two with them, you know what the support staff is at home. And sometimes you have to give a little extra care to some of those kids that, you know, maybe they just need a hug at the end of practice. You know, it doesn't have to be a hug. Just throw your arm around them and say, hey, you know, you've done a good job. They're dying to hear it.
You know, along that same line, do you think that kids kind of open up more? Or, I mean, you know, now as opposed to, let's say, you know, 10, 15 years ago maybe, or, you know. I mean, I guess what I'm saying, if there is a problem, you know, are kids more apt to you know, to talk about that problem now? Or, I mean, you know, is that a thing of the past maybe? Or
I think kids maybe haven't changed. Possibly. I mean, maybe how they express themselves is a little different, but maybe the kid who was going to talk 15 years ago would talk today. That's part of being a coach, you know, is noticing when somebody's off. You know, all it takes is a question. Usually you'll get the answer. Sometimes it's not the answer you want or you thought you were going to hear. You know, maybe it's something you can help with. Maybe it's just listening. You know, listening to their, you know, one-on-one. You know, kids love to be asked, you know, and sometimes nobody asks. Maybe they had a bad day at school. You just ask them, hey, you know, what's going on? And they say, well, nothing, coach. And you say, no, something's going on because I know it. You know, step in here in the office and tell me about it. You know, and next thing you know, 10 minutes later, they've got it off their shoulders and they feel a ton better and they're out of there. And that's all they need. But some kids don't get that at home. They don't have somebody to bounce it off of. And that kind of energy and frustration can be dangerous, just flat dangerous.
I mean, with that, you know, if that situation ever arises, and I'm sure you've probably dealt with that, have you seen a change in their play as far as, I mean, do they seem like more interested? I don't know what, you know, or more...
When a kid...
Like when they relieve this big burden...
You can see the weight of the world lifted off their shoulders.
Like you say, it affects their...
It affects everything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if I stopped by and talked to their teachers, they would say the same thing. I mean, and, you know, as a school community, I mean, that's our job. You know, at Elgin, we're pretty lucky. We got... Middle school principal is Mickey Malcolm. Okay, Mickey, I went to high school with Mickey. We played football together. We're teammates. You know, I can call him and have a conversation with him, and he's the kind of guy that can see when a kid's been off. And sometimes he'll call me and he'll say, hey, you know, ask some questions. And I'll do the same to him. Say, you know, this kid wasn't quite himself, and he's not opening up to me. You might be worth having a conversation about. And, you know, that's where the team structure there comes in. But ultimately, you know, as coaches and, you know, church members and, you know, we need to be vigilant to changes in somebody's attitude. And most of the time, all it takes is a question. You know, you may not get the answer you want, and you may not hear what you want to hear, you know, and they may not want it, but, you know, that's kind of the take home there.
With 2 minutes to go, kind of leave us with, I mean, what message would you like for us to leave with, you know, for our kids and things like that?
Well, I guess maybe a message to leave is, you know, try to do the best you can to support your coaches, your teachers, you may not always agree with them, but you know, most of the time they're there not for money, but because they want to put something into your kids that they've had and the experience that they've had and support them. And likewise for the coaches, you know, parents are number one, God's number one, family's number two, school, and then us. I mean, we're on the bottom of the ladder, and we've got to do our best to keep, to hold the ladder, I guess, and to keep it supported. And you know, I guess the take home is, you know, we got kids are going to be community members and neighbors and fathers and mothers more than they're going to be professional athletes. And it's our job to get them there through the church, through athletics, you know, and just as a community.
Creating a strong foundation,
you betcha,
you know, everywhere.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this has been the pastor spot. It's been my pleasure, and John, it's been a pleasure meeting you and your son. And until next week, this, you know, we're going to say good night to everybody, and just, you know, what the name of the church?
Community Christian Fellowship.
Prospect.
Prospect.
Right? Okay.
You betcha.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
All right. All right, guys. Everyone have a blessed evening, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award